For the year of 2024, Nazarenes throughout Canada and the United States are engaged in a missional initiative of blessing their communities. This initiative is an opportunity to make a positive impact, build relationships, and to connect with people outside of the walls of the church, creating opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. In the month of April, from the 19th to the 21st, Nazarenes will be blessing their communities through various acts of service in the states of Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky. I had the opportunity to discuss this service project with District Superintendent from North Central Ohio District, Wendell Brown. Dr. Brown, excited to have you on the Holiness Today podcast. Can you share with our listeners how God put an idea on your heart to serve North Central Ohio District and how that idea spread to the other districts in Ohio, West Virginia, and Eastern Kentucky?
So one of the things that has always struck me is we have this great geographic footprint in USA, Canada. And I mean great in the sense, right? Our pat geographic statement was there's a Nazarene church within 20 minutes of everywhere that you live almost, right? And so we've got churches throughout our region, but we've never really had an opportunity to leverage that strength all at the same time. We're always disjointed. We're always divided by district lines, or sometimes churches struggle in the same community, pulling off things together. And it was really born out of a heart that honestly, we could do so much more if we could work together. And so we were every January at our advisory board meeting. So January of 2023 on NCO District is our time. We bring in department heads, children's NYI, missions, NDI, and we just start to dream. What would things start to look like? What could happen? And I pitched an idea of what if we all did something together and kind of mandated that every one of our churches would do something on a weekend. And it became very clear from our advisory board, hey, yeah, we ought to do that. That would be a lot of fun. And so from smaller church pastors on our advisory board to larger, all of a sudden there was conversation, you know. So one of our larger church pastors said, you know, I'd love to send 50 people to this church or that's 20 minutes away or another church. I could send 20 people and we could really start to make a difference in some of these smaller communities. And so everybody began to dream and began to think what it could look like. Well, what is interesting from that is that we kind of take that idea and we're going to run with that. And I'm praying and thought, you know, wouldn't it be fun if our whole educational field, East Central, if we participated and did something together? And so I pitched it to the other DSs, and the other DSs fairly quickly were like, hey, we're in, let's do this. And so it became something much bigger that God's just kind of let it develop legs and start moving and growing. You know, I don't have all the projects listed that people are going to do yet. We have a form for them to report and a mechanism for them to report. But I do know that churches in every district. So, you know, there are 8 districts in our field, churches in every district. They've ordered T-shirts that all say the Big Serve on them. We're all kind of matching that way. And there's real excitement about what God could do through this. You know, the interesting thing is it's 461 churches in all of Ohio, all of West Virginia, and then Eastern Kentucky District, because Kentucky is a part of Trevecca. So it's 461 congregations that have that when you add all the weekend worship together, we have the potential of 50,000 people.
Wow.
April 19, 20, and 21, loving on their communities. So that's leveraging strength like we've never known, in my opinion.
And that's the macro. That's the big picture of the educational region. But you probably recognize right away, we've got cities, we've got suburbs, we've got rural, we're across 3 states. So tell us the timeline. I'm guessing you designed it, but it's a brilliant timeline where you have the individual churches back in January, determining their needs. What did that look like? Did you help coach pastors on that? How did that kind of develop as I mean, churches are going to be different. You're going to have big churches, medium-sized churches, little churches. So how did that kind of at the individual micro level start to develop as well?
So we went to churches that had a history of doing these types of events and said, okay, here's a Google sheet. Start filling in ways you've done this in the past. Before I've been a DS, I'm in my seventh year. Before pastoring, before being a, you know, becoming a DS, the church that I pastored for about 8 years, we took the entire month of August, and every Sunday, everybody wore work clothes to church. Everybody brought a sack lunch, and for if there were four or five Sundays in August, depending, every Sunday after church, we'd eat our lunch, and then we'd go serve our community in some way, shape, or form. So it's been something that's been kind of near and dear to my heart through the years. And so we leveraged that experience. We leveraged experience of others who are far more gifted than I, who have even better ideas than I have had. And we started to put this information into this sheet so that churches could look at it as a way to kind of quote unquote exegete their communities. What do we need? How can we dive in? How can we be involved? And I will say this: ours is minuscule compared to what Christy Seneca, our new missionary to America, has put together. That's a part of blessing our community. So that information is on the regional website. If it's not there yet, I mean, it's coming. I think maybe it's due in April. But it is, I mean, as ours pales in comparison to what she put together. So I want to give her some great credit. That was a great tool she put together.
And we'll put that in the show description so people can link right to that resource. Perfect. on the USA Canada website. So the determine the needs and then to determine what you can do. But what does that look like from the larger to the smaller churches?
That's a great question. So one of the things I think that's important is when we talk about serving, often our minds go to how easy it is to throw money at something. And I mean, often we have individuals in all of our churches that it's a whole lot easier for them to write a $100 check than it is for them to show up in work clothes and get their hands and feet dirty in the process. And so what we stressed at the onslaught was quit worrying about money. Find ways that you personally can be present, that you can be involved, whether that's partnering with an existing organization, whether it's there's a church in East Ohio. I think this is ingenious. They're an older congregation. And for Big Sur, they have rented a dumpster for their neighborhood, and they've advertised all the homes around them for spring cleanup. We'll help you for free. Just come bring your stuff. And they said, you know, we're not necessarily young enough to help, you know, people load things up and put things in, but we can put a dumpster out and we can talk to them and help them with light things as they bring it to us. So they've got it planned to set up camp, and everybody that brings their stuff just to love on them. I love that. I love that ingenuity. And I'm sure that there are lots of ways that individuals can help, but they looked at it and said, well, this is something we can do. And rather than just being seated back and expecting, you know, in our world today, the way the model has changed for Sunday, right? People are never going to just grace the doors of our church like maybe they used to 40 years ago. You know, in the 80s, it was smart for you because let's say you were a banker and you moved to town. Good people went to church. Whether you were a Christian or not, you went to church because it was a great way to develop business relationships. It was a great way to build, you know, to build the right opinion in community. Those days are gone. Now there's almost a stigmatism at times in community as a large, you know, for going to church. So they're not coming on Sundays. So I love that this group said, well, right, we can do that on a Saturday. I think that's an ingenious way to reach their community. And that's just one example.
And so you've been stressing the point. I heard you say that it's not about just finding someone to do it for you or sending money. You really want each member that's going to be involved to actually intentionally be involved because you want that interpersonal relationships to develop as well. Is that right?
That is. So one of the tools that we made available for all the churches in our field was was a way for them to share their story. It's a simple tool that allows them to kind of work their story into a 3 to 5 minute story about what God has done in their life, to be able to share it on demand with someone. So we asked every church as part of their prep work to ensure that those who go out know how to share their faith story. You know, Peter tells us we're supposed to give a reason for the hope that we have, but to do it with gentleness and respect. And part of the onus, I think, of and the bigger part of serving is the opportunity, which is the next initiative next year, the opportunity to bring people to Jesus. So we can serve, but my, what an opportunity we have to actually use our faith story to maybe transform someone else's life. We can debate scripture all day long, but you can't debate, I was blind and now I see. I don't know what happened. You can ask me another question. You remember that story in scripture? He said, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is this is what happened in my life. So, Nate, I'm energized that we might have 50,000 people that actually know how to tell their story and lead somebody to Christ. That's a bigger play for us, for sure. So,
and it sort of sets your members and your congregants in a comfortable way to talk. They're actually going to be doing something. I know that it's not always easy to bring up your faith story, but if you're at least working with someone, it's more casual than knocking door to door. Through this coaching and whatnot, have the DSs been getting involved talking about that as well? I did see your form. Will you be kind of going around your different district churches during the service week? How's that going to look?
We are. And kind of celebrating. My wife and I've been kind of working on a plan. How do we get to as many that are happening that weekend as possible? We're asking everybody to take photos. We're asking everyone to take videos if possible, so that we have some record of the work that is happening. And I know my DS colleagues, they probably have better plans even than what I have put together. They're such a great group. And I would venture a guess that we're going to see some transformation, not only in individual lives, but transformation in churches that maybe are re-engaging their community because they're doing it with so many others at the same time. That maybe we'll see some great kingdom fruit. Well, I'll give an example. One small church in our region, they're very small, but they decided that they're doing something all 3 days, which I think is amazing. So they're on Friday loving on their school. On Saturday they are taking money from their treasury in the form of quarters to the laundromat in their town. They're just going to pay people's laundromats for them, their washers and dryers. And then on Sunday, they're loving on their first responders and city officials and having a pancake breakfast for all of them. So, and this is a church that probably runs 30 on Sunday morning. So what a great way for their community to know they're there.
So after the service project is over on the 21st, is there going to be some big service planned after this, at least for your district?
No, what I will say this though, we do, and our district is, before we go out on the 16th of April, we even increased our Zoom account so we could handle it. But and I'm saying with number of participants, but we've invited our district and the entire region to join us in a Zoom prayer call, that God would use our efforts, that God would anoint us, that God would give us wisdom as we speak and as we serve, and that everyone who comes across us would any Nazarene serving would recognize the heart and that Jesus's love would come through. So that's a big thing that we do have planned ahead of time. And then we've got a reporting mechanism for them to share the life change and kind of what happened so that we can celebrate together too. And it's our goal at the end of this that we'll be able to say, you know, these projects were done, this many people were served, this many decisions were made, these many invites happened or whatever, or these relationships were formed and conversations are going to happen in the future. And one of the things that we kind of stipulated was in any of their service projects, figure out whatever connection you're going to make, how can you continue that connection and be intentional about thinking through that, and to pray for those that that you meet and to follow up with them. So,
will that Zoom call be simulcasted on Facebook or on a social media website for our listeners or people in the USA Canada region to be involved with in prayer?
Sure. I mean, we could definitely place that on our Facebook account at the same time. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be sure to also put that in the description so people can stay connected. And then the larger question I had as I was thinking about that for the region, have you had other educational regions reach out to you or DSs outside of your educational zone asking about kind of how to get going? Because I could see district superintendents or even pastors listening to this and saying, well, they've got it really programmed out. How do I get started if I want to do an intentional service project? You mentioned the USA Canada website, but you personally, have you had those conversations as well?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had several DSs contact me, ask questions about what we're doing. I saw a DS at Exponential Conference. He stopped me and he said, hey, I just wanted you to know we're doing exactly the same thing. Our entire district is loving on people the same weekend. And obviously, bless your community. I think kind of the intent was that it would last throughout the year. So we're on the front side of this, but hoping that maybe we can learn some things that we can share with the rest of the church for as everybody continues to bless their communities throughout 2024. So hopefully we'll gain a little experience that maybe we can help, you know, with perspectives about what worked and what didn't work so that maybe we can bless the church further.
And so what is the most, you kind of shared with me the putting the quarters in the laundry machine, but what are some of the more creative service projects you've come across on your district that you're excited to witness?
So I'll give one just because this has never happened in the history of Mount Vernon. Okay. So where Mount Vernon Nazarene University is, we have four Nazarene churches in the city of Mount Vernon. And to my knowledge, there's a great sense of camaraderie amongst all of our Nazarene churches here. But to my knowledge, we have never had an event where they all four work together at the same time to blanket this city. And that is happening with this event. And I could not be prouder of our pastors and the work and intent. They've had multiple meetings, and it's pretty exciting to see that camaraderie really develop, and to see our people say, you know, we're Nazarenes here. We can work together, not only to bless our community, but to help people find Jesus Christ. Obviously, the blessing the community is kind of the hook. The bigger thing is we want people to know Jesus and to know this life transformation that can happen when we believe in the name of Christ. So super excited about that. I mean, you know, I could tell you about meals that are being served. I could tell you about, I thought this was pretty ingenious. Another district, not our district, DS said that they have a church who it really is a tragedy into triumph story almost. The church burned to the ground. And it was tragic about a year ago. They put pieces together and the church is thriving, but a small church. But they decided that they were going to buy smoke detectors for every house. And they're taking smoke detectors to every house in their community, and knocking on the door and just saying, we love you. Make sure our church burnt. We just want to make sure that you all are safe in this process. And I thought, what a great way. And it puts them in touch with everybody in their community. So it's not just a, you know, that's a great macro event, but it really has a micro result. So I'm really pleased with that idea.
So have you had any interactions with local leaders, community leaders, even maybe local politicians jumping on board, getting involved, encouraging you in any way?
In many of the circumstances, yes. There have been meetings with town officials. We've asked too we kind of helped create a press release template. So we've asked every church for whatever local media they have to use that press release and to inform them that the potential is 50,000 Nazarenes are loving on their community the same weekend. And then our office is contacting all large market area news medias, from Toledo to Cincinnati to Parkersburg to Charleston to Ashland, Kentucky, and we're informing them that this is happening and who they can contact in their area to ensure that we have the right level of engagement from communities. You know, one of the things that we also, this is a byproduct, this is not the reason, this is a byproduct, but one of the things we want to do is the church at times is maligned in our world, and sometimes, quite frankly, I don't think gets the right reputation, because we always focus on the negative and never the positive. And I am absolutely certain, after all the years in ministry, that we are doing far more good than we are bad. And I think it's important for communities to recognize, I mean, it's a big feat when 50,000 people in three states go, we'd really like to love on people. And I think a byproduct of this is we also want people to think fondly of the church, and particularly our vein of that, the Church of the Nazarene. So,
would you encourage, I mean, obviously you want pastors and district superintendents to be involved in their local community, but would you encourage them to come to Ohio to witness it, to kind of get some inspiration to go? Or do you know of any pastors traveling to Ohio in the Nazarene world to kind of help be involved or see it happen?
I don't know of anyone specifically coming. I have many that are, you know, are saying, hey, we'd like a report. We'd like to see what happens. We'd like to kind of learn from what, you know, is happening in April. Because I think kind of the big push for us in blessing our community as far as a regional initiative is to kind of work through this in late summer and then through the fall. So hopefully, again, there's some lessons that we learned that maybe help somebody else get it right. So, one of my pat statements is ignorance on fire is better than knowledge on ice. And so I'd rather say I'm not quite sure, but I'm on fire to do it. And then maybe we can gain some knowledge that'll help somebody else with
it. See how it goes. Are you getting the sense that this might be something you guys do annually, kind of a recurring thing?
I think so on our district. We'll see how it shakes out. Or if nothing, less, that cycle of resurgence that we've developed is kind of a 3-year cycle that maybe in the next 3 years we'll pick it back up again and do it again as we roll through. So
you're kind of anticipating that third cycle, bringing people to Jesus and talking about their faith. You mentioned a forum, but is there going to be how are the follow-ups going to take place?
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of being in community is, let's just, you know, we have churches, not all, but we have some churches that aren't even quite sure who the neighbors are in their block because people mm-hmm. drive into church. So one of the byproducts of this is, I'm not even sure it has to be fully programmed. If all of a sudden I know who lives three houses down from the church, and I see Bill and Cindy out with their kids, and I'm driving to church, and I met them, I now have a relationship with them because they brought some things to our church dumpster. It makes it a lot easier for me to stop and go, hey, Bill and Cindy, how are you all doing? And to start those conversations. So this one, the hook is, and I love the scripture that says we're to be as crafty as serpents and as innocent as doves. I take that to heart. The hook is we do care about people, and we're utilizing service as a way to build a relationship. But once that relationship is there, as a believer, it should flow from me that I don't want anybody in hell, and I want to do whatever happens, whatever I can do to keep them out of there. I love what Charles Spurgeon said, you know, when he said, let them crawl over my body on their way there, and with my hands about their ankles, begging them, imploring them to stay. So it's our hope that through this, on a larger scale, this relational type evangelism, building relationships with our communities, becomes something that's much easier for everybody because we've had a little practice doing it through a service project. So it's one thing too. So many churches love to travel for missions projects because it's a lot easier to be kind of out in the open with your faith when you when you're not seeing them every day around you all the time. And the truth is, and they have their place. I love working with this, but we also want to encourage people to do it in their own backyard and to share Jesus. So it's our hope that they become far more willing to share their faith. And I would say this too, the tool that we develop to help people, know how to articulate their story, it doesn't do any of us any good if we don't have the heart passion for it. So, really, we just want people to be passionate about leading people to Jesus Christ. It's the greatest hope we all have. And I know we're all scared to do it. I know we all struggle with it. I know sometimes I feel like I should say something. I'm scared to do it for whatever reason. And I beat myself up for a missed opportunity. But then I pray and say, God, I don't want to miss the next one. So please don't let me. Please, I want to get this right. So hopefully, if we had 50,000 people that all knew how to share the story of what Jesus did in their lives, my word, what a difference that could make.
Well, and as you put it, these kind of events remind us why we do what we do. And in that reminding and going to church and serving the community, it almost becomes a little more natural to share that with the people that we're along with. So these are just great. It's exciting. When I heard about it, I got so excited for it. And I thought that we definitely got to do something with Holiness Today with this. And we're going to continue to support you in it. But just for our listeners, how can they be praying for North Central Ohio District in this? What can we be doing to support it?
Well, pray for us. Pray for Southwest Ohio, Northwest Ohio, South Central, East Ohio. And quite honestly, we want this to go so well that people feel like they can do it without us having some great sponsored event. Obviously, the leverage strength is important, and we want to continue to have elements of that into the future. But we want people to just feel so compelled that we need to do this all the time. We need to find ways to connect with our community. So please pray. I would say pray for wisdom that when we speak, we will speak words of life that will, fall on ears that are receptive and willing to hear.
And in closing, just share with us a little bit how we can stay connected. You said there'll be pictures on social media. Will the local churches be posting that for people to follow, and videos as well, I believe?
Absolutely. Local churches in Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky, district Facebook pages as well, and social media, they'll continue to be updated. And I know they'll be updated those 3 days as well. So there'll be great opportunities. I think we're all trying to use the same hashtag of Big Serve and try to make sure we can get a little traction there as well.
Make it go viral, right?
It'd be great to really figure out those algorithms.
We're going to get our social media guru, Sarah Loganville, on it for us. So hopefully we can help maximize that voice as best we can. So,
yes, sir.
Well, Dr. Brown, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it. We're excited for it. And we'll definitely be praying for your district and the educational region to bless our communities. And hopefully it'll inspire more local churches to do it as well.
Nate, thank you for putting this together and everything Holiness Today does. I think you all do a wonderful job, and we're excited for the partnership even in this conversation. So thanks for what you're doing too.
Thank you. God bless.
Bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Holiness Today podcast. If you enjoyed this production and wish to hear more, visit holinesstoday.org/podcast or find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.